Our Bible reading tonight is in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're not abandoning Revelation 22, but we're going to read this chapter. We will make some references to it later tonight. So let's read the Lord's Word, 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and the unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Welcome. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, minister of the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. We're in the area of Surrey, between Surrey and Langley, about 25 miles east of downtown Vancouver. Now, I realize that not everyone is accessible to our church. Not everyone is able to attend. Therefore, we're happy to take this message from our church out to you by Let the Bible Speak on the airwaves. Thank you for being a regular listener, and thank you to those who call or email just to let me know that you are tuning in. It always encourages my heart to hear from active radio listeners. Above all, to know that you are feasting on the Word of God, that your heart is satisfied with the things of Christ, that the Lord Jesus finished the work there on the cross. Today, the message is on the word of the Lord, and that word where he says, "Behold, I come quickly." We learned yesterday that three times the Lord has given us that statement here in the book of Revelation. And it means that he's certainly coming. He's making full preparations for his appearing in the cloud when every eye shall see him. I hope that you are preparing, because heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and you need the Lord in your heart. Stay tuned right through as we let the Bible speak today on "Behold, I come quickly."
Then in verse 6, you'll see that it's ratified by a decree. The things which must shortly be done. God works by decrees. He does not work by guesses and games and patch it up later. God knows the end from the beginning. He works by a divine blueprint, and all his works are his eternal purpose. And so who shall question and who shall thwart God's purposes? He will work, and who's going to stop it? Now, if you can tonight, and I hope you can, because I've been preaching out of this book of Revelation for 8 months of last year and 4 months of this year, and when you go back over the chapters, and we'll start at chapter 4 tonight, these things that must surely come to pass. That's everything that's in this book. Chapter 4, where the angel said to John, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter." And he showed him the throne and the 24 seats. And you're going to see those too when you get to heaven. Chapter 5 was the opening of the book, the seals that were opened by the Lamb. Chapter 6 was Christ going forth, conquering and to conquer on a white horse. Chapter 7, the seven seals were opened. Chapter 8, silence in heaven by the space of half an hour before the judgment of woe. Chapter 9, the star from heaven that had the key to the bottomless pit, releasing those locusts upon the earth. Chapter 10, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet are given space just for a little time. And then as we move into chapter 19, we have the hallelujahs of the saints, the overcomers who triumph through Christ. And we have this great crescendo of praise unto God. And chapter 20, the great white throne where all men stand before God in judgment. Chapter 21 into 22, the new heaven and the new earth. And all of these things must surely come to pass. That is God's ratification of everything that's in this book. And you better believe it. You better rejoice in it and take it to heart. These are the true sayings of God. They have the stamp of God upon it. And even the angel from heaven is a faithful messenger. So take heart tonight. Then we come to the rewards of keeping this revelation. If you look at verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Blessed. This is the 49th time in the New Testament that the word blessed appears, and the last one is in verse 14. That's number 50. 50 times. All the blessings of God to those who keep his word. there is a direct correlation between your Christian life and your Bible. You cannot live, you cannot worship, you cannot walk with God unless you have absolute fidelity to the written scriptures of truth, your Bible. There must be a definite resting, living, feeding upon that word. And there are rewards to those who live it and keep it and glorify God through it. In verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." Now, what kind of work are we doing? Is it biblical work? Does it have the blessing of God's word? In verse 14, you'll notice that final blessed are for those that do his commandments. Yes, the commandments of God, summarized in the Ten Commandments, are the rule of life for the Christian today. Now, that is denied and opposed and fought against and rejected and denounced and all kinds of things. But here in this final chapter of God's Word, there is a blessing to those who keep His commandments. And God's "well done, good and faithful servant," will be based upon how you have lived according to the light of His Word. This is a strong appeal to read this book and keep the sayings of it. And those rewards are instant. They are immediate when we enter into heaven. Now, I must confess that I have not sorted out in my mind how God is going to work the reward system in heaven. I do read in the book of Daniel 12:3, "And they shall be wise that shall shine, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." I read one comment on that as you look up into the sky, and as you see the galaxy of stars, and they're just myriads and myriads of stars out there in that blackness of space. And there's little speck stars, and there's larger stars, and there's patterns in the sky. There's the Lion, there's the North Star and the Dipper, and you can see stars that you can identify, and they're shining brightly. And he likened in heaven, in the galaxy of the saints, that some will shine with that brilliance that we notice among the stars. God will make His people to shine in glory. And I want to shine in that galaxy. I don't want to be that little speck that you can't see. I want that to be my reward. But to gain that reward, we must keep His word. We must be faithful to the book. Now we move on one more to verse 10, and we come to the relevance of this revelation. The relevance. And it says here, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." It simply means keep it open. Don't close the book and put it on the shelf, because this book is for now. This is our manual for life right now here on earth. And this word will guide us through the pitfalls and temptations of this life. This will enable us to withstand the powers of hell, knowing that Satan is but for a little time, and then he will be defeated. In verse 9, we see that we need this book to worship God. And we're reminded there not to worship angels, not to worship anything but God Himself. He is the object of our worship. God alone is worthy. And then in verse 11, We need this book to prepare for death and eternity. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is, which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy. That is a very strong text on which we can make the statement that after breath leaves the body and death takes over your whole being, as you are, as you die, you shall exist for all eternity. There is absolutely no possibility of conversion, mercy, salvation beyond death. And when you face death, you must realize that this is permanent. Without Christ, you go out into eternity to a lost, well, firstly, to the judgment, where you will be cast out into darkness for all eternity. But for the just, the righteous, the holy, let him be holy still. And so for the Christian, death holds no fear, but rather there is the hope, the certain hope of eternal life. But this text is my mandate to preach the gospel to every sinner. Everyone needs to be warned. Everyone needs to be wooed away from the cliff of eternity, lest they perish without a Savior. Our Lord Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. He understood the judgment that was coming. And out of his gracious heart, there flowed his tears of concern. And we need to realize tonight that here in God's Word, in these closing verses of the Bible, is this final declaration that as you die, you will spend all eternity. Now, what is the state of your soul tonight? Are you saved? Or are you playing the fool, gambling with your soul, putting it off to a future time? Well, you may not have that time. And for certain, if you die without faith and trust in the Savior, you will be lost. Now, these things are written that we might preach these things with clarity. There is no fogginess about this. There is no uncertainty. There is no guessing here. This is not man's opinion. This is the Word of God. Now, lastly tonight, we come to our responsibility for God's revelation. We're going to move down to verses 18 and 19, and we're going to see this very stern warning that we're not to take away from nor to add to the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word of it, every letter of it, they are the true and faithful sayings of God. Therefore, we are not at liberty to either delete, nor may we add. Now, I wonder, did John know that he was writing, by inspiration, the final verses of all of the canon of the Bible? Did John know that this was the close of the whole tomb of Scripture? I don't think he did. Because when John wrote that, the Bible had not yet been compiled, certainly not the New Testament. And John was writing these words at the close of his own book, the revelation that was given to John. And it was applicable to this book. But of course, it is also applicable to every book of Scripture. I don't think John knew, but God knew. And God gave the word, and John wrote it. And it was God's full intention to put his final seal on the accuracy and the finality of his revelation to man. And so the warning is, don't tamper with it. Don't delete it. Don't put a question mark on it. And I am troubled when we have modern versions of the Bible that will put in footnotes and they will question many different sections and texts of Scripture. Now, they don't take them out of the Bible. They keep them in the text. But they put down in the footnotes, oldest manuscripts omit, or other such suggestions. And they put a big question mark over those portions of Scripture. The methodology behind that, the minority text, is totally different and playing fast and loose with a subjective approach to compiling the Scriptures. I'm glad we have tonight in our Bible this authorized version of the Bible, a reliable text that's based on the majority, the received text. Those two methods are cousins. They are close together. The other thing I noticed that the translators of our Bible, they put in italics. And that shows that these were God-fearing men who, to smooth out the reading of a text in English, and they needed a conjunction word or some word that would make that read smoothly to the common reader. If they dared to insert a word, they put it in italics so that you and all readers of our Bible, they know. There may not be a Greek equivalent word behind that italicized word. And so in faithfulness to this command, they used the italics. They were men who feared the Word. I would that all feared the Word. And I would that you feared the Bible also. I would that churches would stand on the whole Word of God. And as we say on radio, let the Bible speak. That's our work. That's God's commission to us. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every verse and every word is God's divinely inspired word. It is complete. And there will never be another volume added to it. Tell that to the Mormons. Tell that to those who use church tradition as equal with Scripture. Tell that to those who have their prophets and prophetesses who claim to have revelations in writing from God. This book is closed. It's finished. And you know that you have read this book and kept its sayings when it makes you a worshiper of the Lord Jesus. That's what it's all about. We started out in this book of Revelation, and we're not finished yet, by the way. I've got one more message to preach on this chapter. You'll notice in verse 17 that there are three comes, the final gospel invitation of the Word of God. I can't finish this series without not preaching that. I've got to preach verse 17. But all through this book, the focus is worship. The Lamb, the throne, the living creatures, the 24 elders, the angels, the multitudes of saints, and they fall down before Him and worship. That's a model for us, that we in our faith and Christianity, everything comes to how we worship. And we sing with the heavenly choir, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I wonder tonight, are you a worshiper of the Lord Jesus? Now, it's possible to be here tonight and hear all of these things, but to have no love in your heart for the Savior. That would be tragic. And to know many of these things and yet not to bow the knee and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That, I assure you, will be against you on the judgment day. And I plead with you tonight to become a worshiper of the Lord Jesus, to surrender your life to Him, give your heart to Him, live for Him, and enter into all the blessings that are for those who faithfully love and serve the Lord Jesus. What have you to lose? What have you to lose by giving your life to the Lord? Your sin, yes. Your service to the devil, yes. The applause of worldly men, yes. You may lose certain freedoms that the flesh might crave and the lusts that a depraved heart might yearn for. But those are the things that are going to damn you. And if you don't get the victory over them, you're lost. Hopelessly, eternally lost. And if a verse in the Bible doesn't put the fear of God into you, I don't know what will. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. You must know the Lord now. You must put your faith in Him now in this life, or you risk perishing, lost in that flame of fire for all eternity. Imagine it. And these things are true. Evangelical Christians are not just preaching a fear-mongering story to try and have some evangelistic technique. This is God's word to you. If you don't heed it, you're lost. And He says, surely I come quickly. He's going to do it. He's going to do what He said. And we need to be ready. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.